Welcome back, my friends, to the Derate the Hate podcast. I am your host, Wilk Wilkinson, your blue-collar sage, calming outrage and helping to navigate a world divided by fog and those who would spread that fear, outrage, and grievance. Each week, I'm sharing stories from my path and using the power of conversation and collaboration with my many great guests. Together, we chart a course toward understanding, bridging divides, and fostering a community where wisdom prevails over discord. Friends, it really is about bettering the world one attitude at a time. We did not create the hate, but together we can derate the hate. The only good thing about a bad attitude is we have the ability as individuals to change it. For me, it starts with gratitude and personal accountability. I am so incredibly grateful that you have taken the time to join me for another powerful DTH episode. Please remember to subscribe and share the DTH podcast with your network of friends. If you would like to support the show, check out the Support Us page on the Derate the Hate website. With that, my friends, let's get to it. Jason Littlefield is an impassioned educator and founder of Empowered Pathways. With over two decades of experience, he has influenced students and families globally from Taiwan to Benin, Africa. Jason co-created the Empowered Humanity Theory, a dynamic framework for life, leadership, and learning. Through initiatives like Empowered Pathways and Free Black Thought, he advocates for unity and personal well-being, challenging prevailing ideologies, and shaping a brighter future. In this conversation, Jason joins me to discuss Empowered Pathways and the development of Empowered Humanity Theory. He explains the problems with collectivist political philosophy and the negative impact it has on social emotional well-being. He introduces the three attitudes of empowered humanity theory: value-centered identity, a dignity lens, and mindsets of inquiry and compassion. We also discuss the pathways to practice, including building awareness and equanimity, kindness, and compassion for ourselves and others, and celebrating our common humanity. Our conversation concludes with Jason sharing information about his book, Empowered Humanity Theory, a Framework for an Empowered and Dignified Life. Friends, with that, let's get into this incredible episode with my friend, Jason Littlefield. Here we go. Jason Littlefield, thank you for joining me on the Derate the Hate podcast, my friend. I've been looking forward to this conversation.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And likewise.
Yeah, man. When I discovered you on Twitter, or X, formerly known as Twitter, whatever they're calling it, right? And saw that the work that you're doing very much parallels a lot of the stuff that I do, Jason. And when I started reading some of the things that you've been putting out there, I started looking into your organization, Empowered Pathways. And then found out you've got this book coming out. So I really wanted to have this conversation, and I appreciate you joining me. So yeah, let's dive right into it, Jason. Tell me about Empowered Pathways. What was the inspiration for this? I read a little bit about your book, and I read a little bit about your backstory, but I'd really like you to share it with the DTH listener.
Sure thing. Well, I can take it back a little bit to 2014 when I became a social and emotional learning specialist in Austin. And around 2017, I noticed that the work that my school district and really the school districts around the nation were adopting for their social and emotional learning program was essentially rooted in collectivist political philosophy rather than a human solution. And I also realized that the majority of corporate trainings, in the name of things like diversity, equity, and inclusion, in the name of well-being, in the name of building relationships, all of these things that are necessary components of a free society, I noticed that the mainstream tool set that was being used was this collectivist political philosophy that, when applied, was actually having a negative impact on humankind's social emotional well-being, because after all, we are social emotional creatures. Mm-hmm. And I know that in order for us to thrive, we need to be in the conditions and the environment that enhance our social emotional well-being. But what was happening was the application of contemporary DEI strategies, and you know, some people call it woke and whatever this main thing that's happening in our culture, sure, it stresses and prioritizes the group and othering people. And I know that when we do that, we are actually strengthening the innate human capacity for prejudice, aggression, and cruelty. So I began working on a framework, and I formed Empowered Pathways in 2017 because I knew that one day there'll be this mass awareness of, oh my gosh, we've been given these awful tools and this awful ideology approach to try to solve our most human, you know, our most complex human issues. So I felt that there needed to be someone out there, some organization out there that is actually addressing the kernels of truths that the ideologues have weaponized, and really to just help increase human potential altogether, to help increase and build human relationships. So that's where Empowered Pathways comes from. And out of that organization, I get to provide professional development. I'm even starting to provide immediate assistance to one particular campus on the issue of teacher burnout.
Okay.
And I'm getting to do some coaching through that lens. So
oh, very nice.
Kind of a long story, but that's how it began.
Sure. Well, I you know, there's a lot of things that you talked about there, Jason, that I'd like to touch on, because I think it's so important for people to recognize, you know, these whether they're, you know, the social emotional learning programs, DEI programs, anti-racism programs, they're all important. But if done the wrong way, like you said, we start to get into this othering and the siloing and this collectivism, you know, the thoughts of collectivism. One of the things that I talked, and quite honestly, this is one of the things that stood out so much about your work that made me want to reach out to you, Jason, is, you know, the idea of collectivism versus individual liberty, and the fact that every human being individually has their own value, their own worth, and we as individuals have to be seen as individuals. Yes, we are collective creatures. We are social creatures. We do need to be together, but we can't be defined by these boxes that people try to put us in. And so the work is so important, but done the right way. I know one of the things that you, or one of the organizations that you also do work with, is Free Black Thought. And my friend Dr. Tavia Lee, you know, she's been on the show before. Actually, in December, I ran a rerun of that episode, talking about how when she was released as the boy, that title escapes me right now, but at Dianza College, she's an incredible figure, trying to do incredible work, but didn't meet the woke standard, if you want to call it that, woke standard that Dianza College was looking for. And I'm like, there's so many people out there that are trying to do incredible work, but then this toxicity gets in the way of that work. So I appreciate that. So talk to me about, Jason, talk to me about how, you know, with Empowered Pathways, you've developed this empowered humanity theory, and there's attitudes involved, and then there's pathways to practice. And I really like this, because I am a root cause problem solving kind of guy, Jason, that I like to go to the root cause and actually work from there to try and solve issues. You're bringing solutions to the table. You're talking about the mental health crisis. You're talking about how we can use these tools to actually get
stuff done, as opposed to a lot of these organizations that are really just causing more problems. So,
yeah, for sure. You know, when we were visiting earlier, I heard you say that one of your missions is bettering the world one attitude at a time. And with Empowered Humanity Theory, I'm actually promoting three, developing and cultivating three specific attitudes. And I think of Empowered Humanity Theory as this lens for which I and hopefully others kind of view the world and interact with the world and interact with ourselves. But one of them is a value-centered identity. And this is kind of the answer to the, I sure hate using the word woke over and over, but
me too. Yeah, it's one of the most overused words.
I guess it's the most simplest and easy way to describe something and to move on. But essentially the status quo way of identity, which values skin color, us born into the sex we were, I guess, assigned at birth, the way that we pursue romantic relationships, all of those things. Whereas with Empowered Humanity Theory, I advocate for a value-centered identity, and that is each person identifying their 3 to 10 top core values and using those values as a way to guide and direct their behavior and their thinking, and a way to continuously, you know, mentally check in with ourselves throughout the day. And especially in situations where maybe we're stepping outside of our values, because we can tend to step outside and do things that maybe we wouldn't normally do. But really establishing that value-centered identity. Mm-hmm. And then another one is a dignity lens. And with that, I mean that understanding that beneath our biologies and our personalities, we are all profoundly interconnected, and mm-hmm. we do share a common humanity. So to recognize and to honor that, and to practice finding similarities and commonalities with people, because those are the things that tear down the walls of indignity. Whenever I see myself in someone that may not look like me, or somebody identifies a piece of themselves within me that they may not look like me, but then we've formed this connection. And when we form that type of connection, we automatically create the psychological capacity to not harm each other. But whenever we primarily see someone as an other or as an outsider, we automatically build the psychological capacities to harm that person. So I advocate for a dignity lens, so that we can stop doing harm to each other. And finally, develop mindsets and prioritize mindsets of inquiry and compassion rather than fear and judgment, because most of the way that people are currently responding and reacting to each other is through this fear-based lens and through this judgment-based lens. So I encourage, you know, in the moment, whenever we make those snap judgment and snap decisions, especially in situations where we can limit our own potential, limit somebody else's potential, you know, especially if we're teachers, you know, making those harsh judgments against students, you know, oh, those students can't learn, yada, yada, yada. But really disrupt that type of thinking with inquiry and compassion. You know, maybe is there an element of suffering that I can tend to, or that's causing what I'm seeing, rather than being harsh and quick to judge on that person or that situation.
Right.
And then, you know, those three attitudes are strengthened by engaging in practices that build awareness and equanimity, practices that celebrate our common humanity and practices that build kindness and compassion for self and others. And then I guess the final element of empowered humanity theory is thinking about all of those attitudes and practices. The more that we can intentionally engage in those practices and intentionally cultivate those particular attitudes, then we are building the neural pathways in our brains that, looking at the work of Richie Davidson, is actually strengthening the neural circuitry of our psychological well-being.
Okay.
So it's, I feel like what I'm doing is I want to, you know, place my hands on the back shoulders of people and just slightly shift them. No, not a major shift, but just a slight intentional shift. And with that slight intentional shift, the view and the vantage point is completely different. Sure. Because right now we're just embroiled in conflict. We're embroiled in that fear and judgment based thinking, which is essentially keeping us trapped in that primal region of our brain. And we are not able to access that prefrontal cortex, which is where all of the complex problem solving is. So the current state of the world and how we are talking about DEI, SEL, and anti-racism is keeping us locked into these primal states. So what I'm hoping to do is, with that slight shift, help us escape and emerge out of that primal area of our brain and just kind of shift up in our brain and in our thinking and how we talk about and treat each other.
Sure. Well, you know, and one of the things that stands out to me a lot, Jason, and what you're saying there is when we think about, you know, identity, well, if you call it identity politics or whatever, we've so often in society today seen where, whether it be organizations or people or whatever, we've become conditioned to fall within these different boxes, these different groups, you know, and instead of, you know, we'll go back to what I was saying earlier that, you know, kind of drew me to your work is the idea of individual liberty. We're individual beings. And instead of falling within these different identity groups, whether it be your sexual identity group or your political identity or your racial identity or, you know, what society is going to, you know, to quote my friend, Dr. Sheena Mason, you know, what group you're going to be racialized within, you know, whether it be racialized as Black, racialized as white, or those different things, going to a value-centered identity, in my opinion, is one of the most important parts of your work, because it's something that I talk about all the time. I mean, I don't care, you know, what color somebody is, where they come from, male, female, whatever. If they have the same values that I have, if you know, because when I think about my human dignity and the dignity that I have for myself, that is based largely on the values that I ascribe to and work with throughout my own life. You know, the mm-hmm. things that I'm teaching my children, the things that I want other people, you know, when I think about my legacy, I think about what do I want to be remembered as for what I've done? I don't care if people, you know, think I'm white, Black, blue, green, whatever. That makes no difference to me. Male, female, whatever, makes no difference to me. It's my values that I want to be remembered for, right? It's the things that I have done for humanity and you know, spreading the idea of our shared humanity and the compassion that I have for my fellow human beings and what we can do together. Being placed within these boxes that are, you know, these different identity boxes and then people just making assumptions about us based on those boxes, That is where we find the anger, the violence. That is what perpetuates this mental health nonsense that so many people are battling, is because of the bullying, because of the hate that's perpetuated by these identity boxes, right?
It is. It is 100%. And something else that you said is how you relate and form relationships with other people that have similar or shared values that you do. So when I'm working with leadership teams or groups, I talk about the importance of shared values, because anytime there's more than two people in a room or a group, that's a diverse group. And the more people that are added to that group and the longer that group spends together, the likelihood for conflict increases. So if those groups operate under a shared one value or more value and shared understandings of those values, then that is one thing that can prevent or mitigate conflict and harm within that group. And right now in our country, there's no longer a shared value. We used to, you know, not all people may have practiced and believed it, but there used to be this idea of individual liberty and that the individual is worthy of rights, regardless of skin color or political affiliation or gender or any of these other things. But now, with this new approach, is that rights are being either assigned or denied because of those identity markers, if you will. So, and since that idea is mainly entering society through workplace trainings, through the DEI bureaucracies, and through the anti-racism conversations, that's why I'm hoping to plug in empowered humanity theory in those frameworks to A, disrupt the harmful ideology, but also to improve the lives of the people in those systems, because right now they're using tools that are working against their own well-being and against the trusting relationships they have with other people.
Yeah, I think, and you know what I'm hearing you saying, Jason, is what I've heard from so many others, in that, you know, that these forced whether it be DEI trainings in the workplace or the toxicity that we've seen in so many of our school districts. You know, I've had several people reach out to me and talking about things that have happened within the K-12 public, you know, public education system, where their children are being, you know, taught and say, you know, for all intents and purposes, going back to a system of segregation, right? And defining some as oppressed and some as the oppressor and things like that, which again goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Builds that animosity, builds that anger, it, you know, perpetuates the hate rather than, you know, doing what I'm trying to do and what you're trying to do. And that's to tame down this hate thing. Look at everybody as an individual rather than these group identities. So, Jason, talk to me about the pathways to practice in your EHT programs, because, you know, again, I talk about it's great with, you know, when we talk about mindset, we talk about theories, but when it really comes down, when the rubber meets the road, these pathways to practice, things that people can actually do, the practical application of what we're talking about.
Yes. So earlier I heard you mention the book, and the book does have some specific examples of practices, but what I really hope to convey with empowered humanity theory is, so let's look at practices that build awareness and equanimity. And awareness is just insight into oneself. insight into other people, insight into relationships, you know, just really that self-awareness. So how many times in a day can I just recognize my emotional state, recognize my mental state, not as something that's either good or bad, but it just is. So taking that time, and then the practices that build equanimity. Equanimity is the ability to remain calm during moments of chaos. Mm-hmm. And mindfulness is one of those practices that builds equanimity. And that's, breathing strategies. I like to stand in nature and just observe how many colors or how many sounds I can identify. Just right. Those moments where we're able to practice being in the moment and observing a situation as it's unfolding without judgment.
Okay.
And that actually helps build resilience in the brain. The more hours that we can engage in those types of practices, we're actually building an increase in the neural circuitry that's linked to our resilience.
Excellent.
And another practice is practices that build kindness and compassion for self and others. And the key there is this notion of self-compassion. You know, most people say, oh, I beat myself up all the time. Sometimes we have these ruminating thoughts. I used to call myself a dumbass quite often. That was one of the things I would, beat myself up about.
Sure,
but
sure.
Really recognize whenever we start to do that and disrupt that, treat ourselves like we would treat a friend that's going through a difficult time rather than beating ourselves up. And, whenever we encounter somebody that is suffering, to actively work to alleviate that suffering, work to make that person's life less of a struggle, and then just be kind, whether it's open a door for a stranger, smile at a cashier, have a positive exchange with somebody. And then those practices that celebrate our common humanity, just again, finding, mm-hmm. seeking opportunities to connect with somebody that may look different from you, be of a different socioeconomic status from you, a different job title than you. Just connect with people as human beings first. So, and neuroplasticity shows that our brain is constantly changing based off of what we are practicing, the environments we are practicing in. So if we are practicing putting those three pathways of practice into our daily habits and routines, like I said, there are specific examples of this book in the book, but my hopes are is that people, once they grasp, okay, this idea of practices that build kindness and compassion, that celebrate our common humanity, that build awareness, once they get that idea, they are applying that framework to their daily lives in a meaningful way.
Right.
It's not here's step one and here's step two, and you do these simple seven things and
you can't just check them off like checking off a checklist. It's like working out a muscle, right, Jason? I mean, it's these things are these things are very similar to things that I talk about quite often and try to practice in my everyday life, right? I mean, just the we talked about equanimity and the ability to stay calm in chaos. But and then I think people really don't understand the value or the because it's kind of a double, it's a backwards way of thinking about it. The harm that one does to oneself through negative self-talk, So that's one of the things that's so important that you talked about there, Jason, that I want to reiterate, because negative self-talk is it's probably one of the most common things that we see amongst people, you know, and the damage that it actually does to us as an individual. Like you said, treat yourself like you would treat a friend. You know, if you're going through a hard time, beating yourself up over that hard time is not doing you any favors. The same way it's not going to do any favors to a friend. If you see a friend going through a rough patch and you just bust on them, that is not going to help them. You got to treat yourself the same way.
Well, it's one of those survival features that we're all wired with. It's not like most people have that negative self-talk. It's more that all people have that negative self-talk, and that negative self-talk is one of the first reactions and instincts we have. That's that voice that told our ancestors, you know, don't eat those berries over there. Don't wander too far from clean drinking water. Ooh, watch out for that tribe over there because they're cannibals. You know, that negative bias, because we do have a negativity bias that we feel those perceived negative emotions at a higher intensity rate than the positive emotions, because that's one of those primitive things in our survival wiring, but it does more harm in the real world, in the modern world. So that's one of those things that we have to overcome. We have to recognize, oh, this is just one of those survival reactions. And if I'm physically safe, if my safety can be guaranteed in this moment, then I need to shift my thinking immediately. Yeah. And the more that we can recognize that, we can actually rewire that negativity bias. And, you know, through gratitude, intentional gratitude practices, savoring moments, savoring a meal, savoring people's company, and evoking a sense of awe, you know, connecting yourself to something greater than yourself. The more we can do those three things, we actually rewire our brain's negativity bias.
That's right.
Negative self-talk isn't the loudest voice that it once was.
Well, yeah. And what I've talked about so much on this podcast is the importance of gratitude and the reticular activating system. You know, you talked about the neuroscience of the brain, right? The reticular activating system. If you start kind of incorporating that within your three pathways of practice, Jason, you know, if we are constantly seeking out the humanity in others and the common ground, as opposed to focusing on the negative, we are going to find more common ground. If we are kind to others and strike up a happy conversation, or like you said, smile at the cashier, things like that, that smile is going to come back at us. If we continue to seek out the positive within ourselves and within others, we are going to find more of it. This is natural. This is the way that the brain works. And it's so important, because if we focus on the negative, we will find more negative. If we focus on the toxicity in this world, we will find more toxicity. It's natural. So the things that you're talking about are again, Jason, this is exactly why I wanted to have this conversation, is because so much of what you do parallels what I do, and just the fact that there, I want to be able to highlight all, you know, the organizations out there that are out there bettering the world in which we live. That's why I do so much work with the organization Braver Angels. That's why I try to, you know, find organizations like you and Empowered Pathways and highlight those, because there are people out there that are trying to perpetuate that toxicity. But then there are others like us, Braver Angels, Empowered Pathways, Free Black Thought, different organizations that are out there actually trying to provide solutions that make our world a better place highlight us as individuals rather than part of some identity group and put us in a box. So, Jason, round out our time together. Share with the DTH listeners, where can they get a hold of you and talk briefly a little bit about your book and where they can find the book.
Sure thing. You can find me on Twitter at Jason the THEE Human. I figure if Meg can be a stallion, then I can be a human. And you can reach me email at contact@empoweredpathways.org. And the book, Empowered Humanity Theory, A Framework for an Empowered and Dignified Life, can be found on Amazon. And the book itself is a short read. I wrote it in a way that the reader can get through it in a single hour sitting and get the overall idea and the rationale for empowered humanity theory. And then there's close to 100 specific practices that the reader can go back and do those. You know, there's writing exercises, there's visualization exercises, there's, you know, what can we do during conflict, those types of specific exercises. You know, I figured if Mao and Marx can write a short read, Purpose to Destroy Humanity, then I can write a short read to uplift our humanity and correct some of the things that we're seeing now.
Right on, brother. That's that is the better path for sure. So, Jason Littlefield, thank you so much for joining me on the Derate the Hate podcast. It's been a pleasure, and I am certain that there will be work we can do together in the future. Thank you very much, Jason.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Friends, if there's anything in this episode that provided exceptional value to you, please make sure to hit that share button. Share it with your friends. Share it far and wide. And of course, if you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe right from our website so you can get the Derate the Hate podcast sent to your email inbox every week. So this is Wilk wrapping up for the week, saying get out there, be kind to one another, be grateful for everything that you've got, and remember, it's up to you to make each and every day the day that you want it to be. If there is something that you would like to share with me, you can catch me on most social media platforms, or you can email me directly, wilk@wilksworld.com. With that, my friends, I am going to back on out of here, and we will catch you next week. Take care.